Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs. We will be looking at various verses in Proverbs this morning. So if you would like to follow along and read them for yourselves, you may wish to be alert to the references. Many of them are marked on the outline. But there are quite a quantity of them. The reading this morning from the book of James presented the alternate paths that are open to every person. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That was chapter 4 of James, verse 6. We may choose a path of pride, or we may choose the path of humility. Both are tied closely to the opposing themes of wisdom and folly presented in the book of Proverbs. Pride is foolish, and it will lead to shame and disgrace. Humility is wise and will lead to further wisdom and honor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35 says, "The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame." And then in 11, verse 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Here are four terms which describe alternate attitudes and alternate results. You might notice those on the title: pride and honor, humility and disgrace. There's pride on one hand, humility on the other. We may choose to be proud or choose to be humble. The results are equally in opposition to each other. We may be honored or we may be disgraced. We will experience honor or shame. I would like to deal with this topic by examining a series of questions. Hopefully the answers will help us choose and stay on the right path, one of humility rather than pride. It's best to begin with some definitions. What exactly is pride and what is humility? Both pride and humility have internal and external aspects. They involve what we think and the actions that result from that thinking. Pride is our own evaluation that we are worthy of honor. Now, you can look it up in a dictionary, and depending upon the dictionary, you'll get various definitions. But that's basically the idea, that we believe that we have a certain importance or superiority to others. Pride then evidences itself in our attempts to receive or keep what we believe is the recognition that's due to us. Well, I'm somebody special, so people should treat me that way. And we act that way then. As we look through the Proverbs, we will see examples of this. Humility accepts God's evaluation of life, and especially His evaluation of us. Above all else, God is worthy of all honor. There's nothing left for us to give ourselves. Honor belongs to God. Humility, furthermore, accepts God's command to treat others more highly than ourselves. So it's both the attitude that we have, who deserves the honor, and the actions, who is going to be treated more specially, myself or others. We might find it difficult to deal with proud people, but we really need to probe deeper. Is it dangerous to be proud? If so, why? If not, why not? We must answer this question with a very clear yes. It is dangerous to be proud. We heard the primary reason from James chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud. If we are trying to accomplish things in pride, God will oppose us. In the Proverbs, we learn how this opposition from God may reveal itself. But we really want to make sure that we don't have God as our enemy. If we want to go through life with some degree of success, with God behind us and helping us, then we want to avoid pride. First, pride leads to disgrace. Proverbs 11, verse 2. I mentioned this verse already. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Who brings it? God will bring it. The word disgrace is also translated dishonor and shame. There are a number of words with related meanings. Shame may refer to the sense of embarrassment which we feel from being criticized, laughed at, or belittled. Or it may refer to the actual humiliation which is experienced. Pride leads to shame and disgrace. Pride also leads to destruction. This may be one of the more familiar verses from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It's one which I can remember memorizing as a child. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction is much stronger than shame. It's one thing to be embarrassed. It's another thing to be destroyed. It's not simply that the proud will feel bad in the end. It will turn out bad for them. Fall is sometimes translated stumbling. A person's pride will trip them up. The proud will be brought down and crushed. And the reason, also in chapter 16 of Proverbs, a little bit earlier, verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The source of the destruction, the source of that stumbling and fall, is God Himself. So how then is humility better? For devoid pride, that leads down a path we don't want to end up on. Why is humility better? Well, the answer is summarized again in James 4, verse 6. God gives grace to the humble. Well, this is something we need and will want to receive. His strength, His help is available for those who humble themselves. This value to humility is repeated in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. And it may be this verse that which James had in mind as he wrote his letter. Proverbs 3:34 says, "He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble." Humility also leads to wisdom. We already read this in Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Now that's logical when you think of it. The humble person is willing to accept things from others. The proud person thinks, I know it all. Nobody can tell me anything. So which one's going to learn? Well, the proud person is stuck with what he thinks he knows, and the humble person is open to learning more things. So with humility comes wisdom. Humility must be there before honor can come. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And many of these thoughts are repeated elsewhere in the Proverbs. You can look through, and if you do a study, you'll find some of the thoughts, and sometimes almost identical sounding verses will appear in Proverbs. Humility is much better than pride. Humility leads to that which pride desires. The proud person is seeking honor. They're doing things because they believe they should receive honor. We're better. But they don't get it. They get shame. And the humble person will eventually receive honor. We sometimes associate pride with wanting to be honored. And so the natural question to ask then, is it wrong to seek honor? Why or why not? Now if we just said the proud person is the one that thinks they should be honored, is it wrong then to seek honor? Well, it might be surprising, but it is right to desire honor. That's okay. Behind all the proverbs which warn of disgrace to the proud, but honor to the humble, is the assumption that people will want honor and that desiring honor is okay. It's just warning you about the path you take to get it. Don't seek honor because you think you are great. Humble yourself and let God honor you. Problems arise in at least three areas as we seek honor. First, we may wrongly evaluate ourselves as worthy of honor. Now that is the heart of pride. We think we should be honored because we're so great. It's all about me, so I'm supposed to have the attention. Second, we may seek honor from men over honor from God. We may be looking for the wrong source of that honor. And third, we may attempt to bring honor to ourselves. We do things, we say things that we think will bring attention to us and bring us honor. And those are the things that are part of pride. Our priority should be to please God and receive honor from Him. Paul told the Galatians, the Thessalonians, that he spoke not to please men, but to please God. He told slaves to work as unto the Lord and not as those merely pleasing men. And he wrote to Colossians. He told Timothy to be like a soldier who seeks to please the one who enlisted him. It's therefore right to do those things which will result in honor from God. But it's wrong to give honor to ourselves. Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman." You might remember a story which Jesus told along the same line. Someone comes into a banquet and they think, "Well, I'm special. I deserve a place of honor." And they take one of the front seats. And the king comes in and says, "What are you doing here? Go sit in the back." What a humiliating thing. Jesus says, "It's much better. Go take the seat in the back." And when the king comes in and says, "Well, where is Bob or Rich?" Or, "Oh, come on up here. I want you next to me." Then you are honored by the king. You didn't seek your own. Proverbs 25, verse 27 says, it is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Eat too much honey, you get sick. Too much sweet. Seeking your own honor isn't too healthy either. You're going to get sick from it. It's going to be a bad result. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips." This again might have been in James' mind, because he'll say the same thing, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." I think he was very familiar with the Proverbs. Those who seek honor themselves will find that the opposite happens even among people. They try to set themselves up as someone who really deserves recognition, and at some point, people see right through it, and they look worse for it than they did before. Neither is it something which is pleasing to God. God resists the proud. Seek honor from God by doing those things which He desires of us. Let Him be the one that gives that honor. Seek honor, but not by honoring ourselves, but by humbling ourselves and doing what God wants. At this point, we might be tempted to think of someone else who needs to hear this message. That's always the time. "Oh, that person really has a trouble with pride. They're always doing this or that." So we need to ask the next question. How do I recognize if I am proud? It's often the problem of pride that we do not recognize it in ourselves. We consider our evaluation of ourselves as accurate. "Of course others should respect me. I'm smart. Why are they arguing with me? I'm right." And we don't see it as pride because I'm right. That's not being proud. That's just recognizing the facts. The Proverbs gives us a number of practical tips that are potential indicators of pride. Now, some of these very clearly are indicators of pride, and others we have to work back from the fact that they bring shame. We say, well, that might involve then pride. The more frequently we find ourselves quarreling, the more likely it is that we have a problem with pride. If you look around and you find at work, I'm always getting into an argument with somebody. Or at home, if they're always having a fight with somebody, always in disagreement, there's a very good chance that you have a problem with pride. Proverbs 13, verse 10 said, pride only breeds quarrels. When a person is proud, that's what it's going to lead to, quarrels. So if we work backwards, saying if a person is always quarreling, there's a good chance that pride is the reason. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. So if you're involved in quarreling, it might be a problem with pride, and it also says that you might be a fool, because it's the fool who's quick to quarrel. We quarrel because we believe we are right, or because we want to have our way, and that's pride. This is the background to the verse in James, which we already quoted. But James 1, chapter 4, verse 1, it's that section starts, which Lucas read this morning, ask the question, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? And after explaining the problem of improper desires, James sums it up in verse 6, therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud. Quarreling arises out of a proud heart that wants what it wants and gives in to no one else. Second, those who don't accept correction may have a problem with pride. We don't accept correction because we don't want to admit that we are wrong or that someone else may know better. We believe that we know best. Our decisions were right. How dare someone else contradict me? Well, we need to take correction if we want to humble ourselves. Often those who are proud do not see that they have any problem in this area. They don't accept correction because they are indeed right. It's the other person who's wrong. Why should I listen to what they say? They're wrong. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Verse 18 of the same chapter says, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. It's the mark of humility which God honors to listen to correction. So if a person is being honored, if you back up, probably behind that is humility rather than pride. Third, those who answer before listening fully may be revealing a problem with pride. We just touched briefly on this area of speech 2 weeks ago. Proverbs 18:13 relates the result of pride, shame, with the cause of not listening. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. It's possible that such shame comes and not honor because there's pride. Consider why a person answers before listening. They might believe that they already know what the person is about to say. So they finish this other person's sentence and give an answer. Do I really know better what another person is thinking or saying than they do? That's pride. People who answer before listening may be so impressed with their own answer or comment that they cannot wait to listen to everything. They just need to tell that person what's on their heart, so they cut them off and answer before listening. That's pride. They may want to get the conversation over quickly because their time is so much more important than the other person's, so they cut off the question, give an answer, and basically say, go on, because my time is more important. That's pride. It may be a problem of pride to answer before listening. The person who mocks is proud. Listen to Proverbs 21, verse 24. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 34, that God mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. This is a very clear statement. The person who mocks is proud. He has a problem with pride. To mock is to ridicule another, to treat another person with contempt. In essence, it's treating someone else as less worthy. Those who consider others less than themselves are proud. Do we mock others because they think they cannot drive well? Pick on the men here. You ever say, oh, those women drivers. When you begin to mock someone, there's a bit of pride there. Men are so much better drivers than women. That's a bit of pride. Or I've heard women say, oh, men, they just can't handle pain. I hear some chuckles. It's the same type of statement. That is ridiculing someone else, and it lifts us up and says, well, we're so much better because we can handle this. When others speak, oh, that person stumbles so much in their speech. That person can't do this. As we mock them and make fun of them, we are actually demonstrating our own heart. It's proud because we think we are better. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with overweening pride. The person who picks the best for himself and leaves second best for someone else may have trouble with pride. Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7 give the specific example. And I mentioned, read this one already. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. Do not claim a place among great men. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before a nobleman. The person picked the best place for himself. It was an indication of pride. Picking the best and leaving the rest for others reveals that we are thinking more about ourselves than others. I deserve the best. Others do not. Well, this isn't as nice. This chair isn't as nice. Others can take that. I'm going to take one that's more comfortable. I'm going to take the best. That's pride. Because it's saying, I come first. Someone else comes second. They're not as worthy of this seat as I am. The person who seeks their own honor has a problem with pride. I've read that already. It's not too good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. In other words, this refers to seeking praise and recognition from others. We need to be careful with this one because we may be doing it without realizing it. And this is often the case. It sort of sneaks in behind us without us being aware of it. Have you ever been tempted to tell one story better than the other person? You're telling about something that's happened and they say something and you come back with this, well, this is what happened to me. I caught this fish and it was this much bigger, or, you know, I had this really difficult traffic problem, and we just want to come back with one more story, one bigger story to tell. Why? Why do we have to tell one bigger one? This one upmanship is because we want the recognition. You tell a good story, I'll tell you a better one. Are we relating our story to build the other person up, to encourage them? Or are we just drawing attention to ourselves? If we want the attention and take it from another, we are thinking more highly of ourselves. And that's pride. And pride goes before destruction. Next time you're in a conversation and you're tempted to do a, well, I got one more. Stop and ask yourself, why? Why do I need to tell this? Maybe you should say, well, that was really interesting. How did you feel about that? Ask about the other person. Let them have the attention. Humble yourselves and lift the others up. It may also be an indicator of pride to reveal a confidence. Proverbs 25, 7 to 10, this just follows from some of the verses we looked at earlier, gives this warning. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. For what will you do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame? If you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. I suspect that people generally reveal confidences for some personal benefit. I think that might be the case behind this proverb. Someone's in court, they're trying to justify themselves, so they bring out something about their neighbor.
that they know nobody else knows. They reveal this confidence just to support their own case.
And it's just going to come to shame. A person who reveals confidence may want to seem like a person who's in the know. Well, I know what's going on. So-and-so told me that this or that. You should never have said it. But you just want that feeling, oh, I want to be recognized that I know something too. Maybe hidden under a, pray for this person. But in the end, it is often an expression of thinking more about oneself than another. Sometimes we know something and people are talking about a subject and we could set them straight because we know it directly. And we just have to hold our tongue and not even hint at the fact that we know more information. Because we're going to think more highly of the other person who shared in confidence with us than we do of ourselves. Let the others think I'm ignorant. Let them go on with the way they're talking. I will not share it, even though I don't get anything out of it, but I will protect the other person. A challenging indicator in our own culture may be this next one. Seeking the best for oneself rather than the employer may be an indication of pride. Like some of the others, we must work backwards from what brings honor and what brings shame. Therefore, this is just a possible indicator. It's not an absolute one. Proverbs 27, verse 18 says, "He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored." This is a general principle. If you care for a tree, you will benefit from a good harvest. If you neglect the tree, you probably won't have a good harvest. If you care for business, the business of your master or your employer, you will benefit from a profitable business. If you don't care for the business, if you waste things, then there's going to be less profit for the company. And then you are going to profit less. You can't expect good salaries from a company that's going bankrupt. And if you are part of the problem of a company going bankrupt, you're at fault. The New Testament, though, Paul extends this to a spiritual level. In Colossians 3, 22 to 25, slaves are commanded to serve their masters with the same diligence as they would serve the Lord himself. If we are only looking out for ourselves on the job, then we are showing evidences of a proud spirit. It's just me. It's what I get from this. I don't care what happens to my employer. Most I can get out of it is what's important. That's pride. If we're saying, I want to make this company a success, I want to do the best job I can because this is important to God, then we are showing humility before Him. One final possible indicator of pride was touched upon earlier in the summer. Excusing oneself for not getting work done. Proverbs 26, verse 16 says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly." Here, pride is more evident. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven others who really do have a good answer. That's pride. I know better than anybody else. I know better than these men. The sluggard is one who is not only lazy, but gives crazy excuses for his laziness. You might remember from that, it was, oh, there's a lion out in the street, I can't go out. Just, well, yes, there were lions in Judah, but they weren't roaming the streets. But that was his excuse, and he was really convinced it was a good excuse. Well, it's too cold to go out. I can't go out now. And he was really convinced this was a good reason not to go out and work in the field. On top of coming up with these crazy excuses, he believes those excuses and thinks he's really smart. That's pride. So if we don't get our jobs done, we have to stop and think, why? Now, sometimes we just run out of time. We only have 24 hours in the day, and some people have 26 hours of work, and it just doesn't get done. At other times, we can look at our lives and recognize we had some laziness there. And we've come up with excuses.
And that's the problem of the proud person. He doesn't recognize that the excuse isn't valid. Pride hides that from his own eyes. He thinks it's a good excuse. So we really need God to shed some light into our own hearts and ask, Lord, show me. Am I proudness? If I'm not getting my work done and I'm coming up with excuses, Lord, let me be honest with this excuse. Is this really a good one? Show me. How can we avoid pride then and gain humility? First of all, I believe that one requires the other. We must both withdraw from pride and pursue humility. Furthermore, just as pride reveals itself in action, so also humility is closely tied with our actions. It's not simply an attitude. We don't sit there thinking, oh, I got to feel humble. I got to think bad about myself. No, it's a decision. What do we do? Do I humble myself before others? Next, understand who God is. As with all wisdom, this is the start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9, verse 10. As our understanding of the greatness of God and the holiness of God increases, then the perception which we have of ourselves will be properly adjusted. As He is elevated, we realize how much we are lowered in comparison. This then is the next suggestion. Understand God's evaluation of us. I personally have not yet found instruction in Proverbs against any inferiority complex. You don't find that, well, stop feeling so negative about yourself. Stop thinking so lowly of yourself. The opposite situation is clearly present in Proverbs. Man tends to think too much of himself. We are too concerned about getting what we think we deserve, about what we need, or about what we want. Even the person who thinks they're not appreciated enough is proud. Why should anyone appreciate you? You should be thinking more about others and not thinking so much about why people don't appreciate you. It's become self-centered. That's pride. Fourth, avoid prideful actions and undertake humble ones. We can choose to humble ourselves. The person who spoke too quickly and thoughtlessly and promised security for a neighbor should humble himself and plead with the neighbor for release. Proverbs 6, verses 2 and 3. Go humble yourself. Swallow your pride is an expression we use sometimes. Confess mistakes and failures. Confess sins. Take the least desirable seat. Show restraint in what you receive from others. Choose a lesser position. That is actively humbling ourselves. When you're ready to make a, when you're offered something, make a humble choice. One specific action I would list separately because of the importance given to it in Proverbs is this: accept correction. We can choose to listen to those who are critical of our action. Even the words of our enemies may have some truth in them. They may be saying things that are nasty and meant to hurt, and 95% of it may just be made up and wrong. But 5% may be right. Listen to it. You'll be wise if you do. Parents, even our children, may be a source of correction. Sometimes they might try to correct us directly. They might ask some questions that really bring to light something in our hearts. At other times, they themselves are a mirror of our own hearts. They mimic our own actions and attitudes. There was a book that deals with raising teenagers, and one of the statements it makes in there I think is excellent. It says, God gives us our teenagers as mirrors. They often show our very attitudes that we have. Now, they reveal it in a different fashion. They won't do the same things as we do. But many times their actions come out of an attitude that we ourselves have in our own hearts. Do we accept that correction from God? Do we say, God, is that type of attitude in me? Now, we notice it most in little children. I remember when our oldest son was just 3 or 4, and I heard him repeating my words in my tone. I was like, whoa, this is dangerous. It doesn't stop with 4 or 5-year-olds. They grow up, they use their own tone, but they repeat our attitude, and We need to accept God's correction and look into our hearts and say, God, are you trying to tell me something? Humble ourselves. We should humble ourselves before God. Finally, pursue righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34. And what's true for a nation is true for the individual as well. If you wish to be exalted, to be honored, pursue righteousness. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 8, verse 13. To fear the Lord, which is the very beginning of wisdom, is to hate evil. Instead of evil, righteousness should be our goal. Pursue righteousness. This will help us cap that ugly monster of pride and develop the humble spirit which God desires. The Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes begin with a very significant blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 3. Being poor in spirit is exactly the opposite of pride. Being poor in spirit means that we recognize our spiritual poverty. Before God, we are spiritually bankrupt. Nothing within us and nothing which we have can win us acceptance with God. We must throw ourselves completely on the mercy of God. The poor in spirit say, I don't have anything. I'm bankrupt. There's nothing I can do to earn a right standing with God. To such people belong the kingdom of God. It's not to the proud who think they have something to contribute to God. It's not to the proud who think they are better than others. But it's to the humble who come to God recognizing that they need His grace. And it's to those that God responds. The humble recognize that they deserve punishment. And those who trust that Jesus Christ has paid for that punishment in His death receive freely from God the gift of a righteous standing in Christ before Him. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ will not be ashamed. They will be honored. Humility before God is more than an extra which we add on to our Christian life. Humility before God is at the very start of a restored relationship to God. It's when we recognize that we're spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing to offer God. Humility and not pride, then, should characterize us as children of God. This is the path on which we should be traveling. A life of pride will only end in disgrace. But true honor awaits those who humble themselves before God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to earth for us. Thank You that He humbled Himself, took on the form of a servant, and He was obedient even unto death, death on the cross. Thank You that we can have forgiveness of sin in Him and new hearts, hearts that allow us to be humble. Help us to recognize pride in our own lives. There are so many areas in which it can sneak in without us even realizing that we're acting proudly. Reveal to us our hearts. Cleanse us from sin. Show us the right way to walk to Your honor, to Your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.